Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama Kuf Yud Beis. We are starting on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Shortly after the Gemara, we're starting this morning with the words Yimeniach Lifneim Peturim L'Shalim. Started the 10th parak yesterday. We didn't get that far through the 10th parak. 10th parak is the final parak of the Masechta. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. It's not that hard. The Mishnah tells us, well, today's daf is going to be, it's not a complicated daf, but a lot of interesting dynamics over here where dad stole, unfortunately, and you're left holding the bag, right after dad died. So now you have all the stolen goods. What do you do with those stolen goods? You have a requirement to return them. It's a really simple question, as we're going to see over the course of today's daf. The answer is not so simple. However, let's start with our Mishnah. The Mishnah, I'm not reading the Mishnah, I'm just reviewing the Mishnah. And that is that the Mishnah deals with two scenarios. One, your father stole, and machil banav, and he fed the children. In other words, let's say dad stole food. Okay, make it nice and easy. And then what dad did is that he took the food and in turn gave it to his children. Children ate it. And now, is there any requirement for the children to go ahead and pay back? In other words, we're now later down the road and dad died and children benefited from it. Do they have to pay back? The Mishnah is going to tell us no. Alternatively, dad died and left it to the children. So now we're looking at the stolen items being a Yerusha to the children. Do the children have to return it? And here too, the Mishnah says no. But the Mishnah does qualify. And the Mishnah's conclusion is that if it's davar sheish bo achrayus, chayam l'shalem. If you remember yesterday, so when we read that last line of the Mishnah, so I cautioned everyone, don't try to understand it. Not yet. Obviously, when we see a Mishnah be advantageous to understand it, that's generally speaking what we try to do here in the course of the daf, and that is understand. At this point in time, though, let's put a pause on understanding. There is going to be an occasion where you're going to have to return the stolen item, but we're gonna qualify that momentarily. The first thing that we did yesterday was Rav Chista's halacha, which is when someone steals from you, so let's call him the gazlan, and then someone else, let's call him the third party, takes it from the gazlan without the permission of the gazlan. So now there are two gazlanim over here, gazlan number one and gazlan number two, who stole from gazlan number one. So now, obviously, I don't care how many gazlanim there are. All I want is I want my item back. So what do I do? So Rav Chista says what you could do is that you can go ahead and you can sue either party, gazlan number one or gazlan number two. I mentioned yesterday, you can't sue both. Well, you can sue both, but in other words, you can't collect from both. In other words, you are going to get a reimbursement, but from one of those two, either one of those two. That's the chiddush of Rav Chista. And why? So Rav Chista gave very clear a reason behind his chiddush. And that is that when you go, when gazlan number two took from gazlan number one, so he didn't take from gazlan number one. He took from you. The item is yours. In other words, the fact that the gazlan took it from you doesn't remove the item from your possession. It's still yours. So when gazlan number two takes it from gazlan number one, he's really taking it from you. So effectively, Rav Chista says you have now the right to go ahead and litigate on either party. Either one of them would serve as a legitimate address to go ahead and extract compensation for the stolen item. That's the halakha of Rav Chista. Good. The Gemara poked and challenged Rav Chista. The Gemara defended Rav Chista. That's all what we've done so far in our beginning analysis of the 10th parak. Okay, we continue. Im hiniach lifneihem, patur milashalim. So we are in Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis at the two dots, and now we're going to be looking at the last clause of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if dad stole and left to the children, and now the children are left holding the bag as the Yerusha, so they do not have an obligation to return unless, I'm sorry, we didn't get to the unless part. Sorry. Amram b'chamazos ameres, rishus yareish, ki rishus lokech damei. Okay. So now, a new halacha, and that's Rami Barchama. Rami Barchama says, can we take a look at a transfer via Yerusha? How does that work? So Rami Barchama introduces us to a new idea, another big idea, and that is that the Rishus Yareish is to Rishus Lokech. Okay. When something is transferred via Yerusha, that's no different than any other type of transfer. In other words, it's a Mekach. It's a transaction. Okay. Now, why is that important? It's important because what do we know regarding transaction? We know that if I took Yeush, I stole an item and the owner had Yeush. So did I acquire the item via Yeush by itself? Hopefully you remember in the 7th paragraph, this was a major debate. Major. Let's assume right now that Yeush by itself is not going to be Kona. Okay? So Yeush by itself does not yet create a Kinyan. However, well, let's take Yeush and let's couple it together with Ishina Rishos. So we learned together back in the seventh parak that if I have yesh and I have shin of rishus, for sure you're going to be kona the item. We're fine. So that means that now if the goslin stole an item and there was yesh and he turns around now and sells it, so now there's a kinyan gamur, a full kinyan. Okay. The purchaser of the item now has acquired the item. Obviously, the goslin still has a requirement to compensate and reimburse the nigzal, but okay, that's neither here nor there. That's, in other words, that's the halachas of yesh and shin of rishos. What Rami Bar Chama now is introducing is the following, and that is that Yerusha works in the same exact manner. Meaning that if the father stole, and there was Yeush, and then the father dies, and those stolen possessions now transfer to the children via Yerusha, that is considered Shina Rishos. And therefore the children have acquired. And Rami Bar Chama says, and just look at our Mishnah, because it couldn't be any clearer in the Mishnah. That's exactly what the Mishnah says. That the children are peturim milashalim. Well, why should that be? Beautiful. So according to Rami Bar Chama, the reason why is that because you have Yeush and you have Shina Rishos, i.e. via Yerusha. So the Gemara says, Rava disagrees. Rava says, no. Rava, Amar Rishos, Yerush, Lavka, Rishos, Lokech, Dame. No. Yerusha and Lekicha are not the same. Lekicha, that's a transaction between two parties. Yerusha is flowing. Yerusha is basically, I'm just a hamshacha. It's a continuation. When the child inherits his father's estate, so in other words, that's just simply, it is not a transfer, it's just simply a hamshacha. It's a continuation. And therefore, Rava fundamentally disagrees in terms of how to properly look at Yerusha. And therefore, when I have Yeush and Yerusha, that's not the same as Yeush and Shina Rishos. It wasn't a Shina Rishos. No. So now, hacha b'maiskinan. So the Gemara says, what about the Mishnah? So now, in other words, the Mishnah now would seem problematic because the Mishnah taught us that the father stole and then passed it on to the children and the children don't have to pay. Well, why not? Meaning, how do you understand the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah is talking, Hachab Maiskinan, in defense of Rava, the Mishnah is talking about a case of Kisha Achlum. When what happened was is that there was a theft by the father. Father died. All of it transferred over to the kids and the kids ate it. And look at Rashi over here, Kisha Achlam. And Rashi says, Lachem Isas Aviyam. And Rashi says, it doesn't even matter if they ate it after the father died. Still, they're going to be exempt from having to pay. Why? V'nigzal en yachol atovam sha'arei lo gazluhu. Rashi over here, very short, obviously a penetrating insight over here. They weren't the gazlanim. Meaning that the only thing that they have is just simply a requirement to return. But in other words, but if the item is not there, so then they're not the gazlanim, the item is not there. No longer is there a requirement of responsibility of the children to go ahead to compensate. Okay.
Achlam, isn't that the biggest shinui you could have?
Achlam is a shinui. That's correct.
Oh, okay. Achlam is shinui.
That's correct. But in other words, but that's not it's not shinui rishus. It's not shinui rishus.
The children that come in or the gedayim?
That's something which we're going to discuss shortly in the Gemara. Okay. I came prepared, mostly prepared. Not really. Okay, okay, good. So we now have another very fundamental machlokus amongst the Amarim, how to view Yerusha. Is Yerusha considered a Shina Rishos, or is Yerusha not considered a Shina Rishos? It's a machlokus between Rami Bar Chama and Rava. Continuing. Hamidiktani Seifa, okay. Let's go now to the end of the Mishnah. Because what do we learn in the end of the Mishnah? Okay. The Mishnah at the end says that if it's Yesh Bar Achrayas, which right now, we're not sure what that means. But what we do know, however, is that there will be a scenario where the children do have to go ahead and return. What's the scenario? Well, the Mishnah says Yesh Bar Achrayas. Yesh Bar Achrayas would make it sound like something like property. Meaning something that's there. Mechlal Dereshah B'Gzelah, I'm sorry. Now, which would imply that in the ratio of the Mishnah, Bigzela Kayamas Askinan, meaning we're talking about where the item is still there. So, and the item is still there, and yet they don't have to go ahead and return it. So I'm Lacharava Hachikamari Minichlam Aviam Achres Nechasim. So Chayav Lashalim. So Rava says, yeah, but you didn't understand the end of the Mishnah. Meaning the end of the Mishnah, it's not like karka, it is karka. Meaning, Rava says, this is how we'll learn the Mishnah together. Ready? Father stole. right? Not actual karka, by the way. Karka ain't an exelus. We're going to discuss that later in the perek. But the father stole. And the father also had karka as well. So now, what does the father have? The father has an obligation to return. Plus, there's also a sheba now created on the karka. So now that karka is securing that obligation. Then what happens is that the father dies. Ah, now the children inherit the stolen item. And so, let's say the stolen item is no longer there. Rava says, here's the pshat now in the Mishnah. If there is, in fact, karka, and the karka was securing that obligation, now they have to pay. Now they have to pay. Why? Because the karka is securing the obligation. So in other words, the nigzal can now go after the children, not because of the children per se, but because of the karka that existed, which secured that obligation. Okay. Good. And now Rava's position is fully defended. Meaning Rava will tell you that Yerusha is not like Lekicha, and that the Yerusha is just a Hamshacha, is just a continuation. So far, so good. What about the end of the Mishnah? The end of the Mishnah is talking about where the item is or is not there. It's inconsequential simply because there's karka. Now, Vahamas la Rabbi Shimon Berei. Sorry. Let me do that better. Vahamas la Rabbi Shimon Berei. Yeah, but don't you know the exchange that took place between Rabbi and Rabbi Huda, his son? Sorry, Rabbi Shimon, his son. Okay. Now, Rabbi, of course, is a Masada Mishnayos. Okay. Which means that now we're going to be commenting on our Mishnah, and we're getting it from a pretty good source. In that, this is now Rabbi teaching his son, Rabbi Shimon, how to learn our Mishnah. Which is, Lo Devash Yeshba, Chayas Mamish, Allah Filo Par V'Chorishba, Chamer Mechamer, Chorav Chayim Lachzim, Bimnei Kavod Aviyam. When Rebbe taught his son, Rebbe Shimon, our Mishnah, he said, you know, when our Mishnah is talking about something, Sheyesh Ba'achrayas, it's not talking about karka. It's talking about a para, a chamor. It's talking about something where everybody knows, hey, you see that cow over there? No, that's the stolen cow, right? Everyone talks about it. It's the talk of the town. Okay, by Shabbos at the Kiddush. Oh, the stolen cow. Yeah, the stolen cow. So that means now that when dad dies and the cow now goes over to the kid, so now the kid inherited what? The stolen cow. Yeah. So in other words, did the kid acquire it? We're going to assume yes, the kid acquired it. And still he has a requirement of responsibility to return it. Why does he have a responsibility to return it? Because of the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. In other words, now in order to provide honor to his father, to his late father, he should be returning it so that everyone would stop looking and talking about the stolen cow which the father stole. The mitzvah of kibud av v'aim continues even after the father dies. That we know in the Gemara and Kiddushin. There are a multitude of questions to ask and answer over here. We're not going to. Because we're going to just continue in the daf. But just this idea, though, that there is service of kibud av v'aim by returning this cow. The point that we're going to be focusing on is the following. And that is that clearly Rebbe, when learning our Mishnah, the Mishnah is not talking about karka. The Mishnah is talking about any item which is identifiable. And an identifiable item has to be returned, but only because of this mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Which means that if I took that factor away, it was a nondescript item, so then there's no obligation to return. Okay.
There's even kibud av v'aim when the father, who was the ganav, really didn't care much.
Oh, it's a good point. It's worthwhile discussing. There's a rush. There's a riff over here. Discusses your point. I'm bypassing that simply because I just want to get through the doubt. But excellent. It's a really excellent point. So the Gemara says El Amarava. So the way Rebbe learned our Mishnah, it's not talking about karka. So El Amarava Kishachimna Rebbe Yoshia Nafik Levasi Diterisa Masisa Kavase. So Rava says, look, I know how Rebbe learned the Mishnah. Not that I don't care. But I have another source, which is Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia, in fact, Rava says, it's such a striking comment. Rava says that when I die, I'm going to go up to Shammai, I'm going to go to the Yeshiva Shamala. Who's the first one who's going to greet me? Rabbi Yoshia is going to greet me. Why? Because this first Mishnah, the 10th Parak of Baba Kama, I learned it like him. He learned it like me. In other words, so we're speaking to each other. And so therefore, he's the first one who's going to greet me. So Dini Rabbi Yoshia goes Amachas Bana Paturim Milashalim Miniach Lifnem Gzela Kayemes Chayavim Ena Gzelas Kayemes Paturim. Okay, so Rav Yoshia has got a brisa in the brisa of Rav Yoshia. So the brisa makes a distinction between whether the Gzela is there or not there. If it's there, yeah, the kid has to return it, and if it's not there, the kid doesn't have to return it. But here we go. Even if the item is not there. But what dad also left was, and here's the key words, achrais nechasim. Achrais nechasim are property. If dad left property, even though the gzela is no longer kayim, there's still an obligation to pay back. Why? Because the land is securing that obligation. Meaning Rav Oshia clearly understands that our Mishnah says, davar sheyesh bo achrayus. Now the expression davar sheyesh bo achrayus, that's an ambiguous term. It is a little bit unclear, which leaves open for interpretation. Rav Oshia, the way he phrases it, there is no ambiguity. He says the achrayus nechasim is karka. And therefore, according to this interpretation now, the only reason an obligation that the child has to return is only because of the land going ahead and securing that obligation, achrayus nechasim, which means now that we can properly defend Rava. Meaning Rava says that without the achrayus nechasim, the child does not have an obligation to return. And even if the item is there, there is no obligation to return. Why? So Rava will tell you that that will end up supporting Rava's position that Rishus Yorish is Lav Kirishus Lokech. Okay, good. Amar. Ein Gzelas Kayam is Paterim, Nema Tavitu, Tiyufsa de Rav Chista. So the Gemara says now, if the Gzelas is not Kayam, the Brisa just taught us that you don't have to pay. Now that seemingly is against Rav Chista. Which Rav Chista? The one where we ended off yesterday's daf with. Rav Chista said that if a Gazan stole from the Gazan, so then you can go after both parties. Over here, so I have the father who stole, he died, the kid took it, the kid consumed it, and now I have no address. Rav Chista says, I have two addresses. So I'm l'cha Rav Chista, kitanya hilacha yesh. So Rav Chista will tell you, okay, meaning the price of Rav Oshia that we just learned together, that's after yesh. Oh. So if it's after yesh, and now you have yesh, and you have shinui, right? Let's call it shinui rishus, although I know that's debatable, but let's say that we have it. So now there was a kinyan, and that's why I can't go after the kin. Okay. Amar. Gzel kayem schayev l'shan neme tiyavituf to drami barchama. Okay. Now, if the gzel is kayem, so you do have an obligation to return it. Now, according to Rami Barchama, how do you look at Yerusha? Yerusha is a transfer. Yerusha is a transaction. So now, according to Rami Barchama, so what do I have? I have now the item being stolen by dad. Then dad dies, and now you have a Yerusha to the child. So you have Yesh and you have Shina Rishos. And according to Rami Barchama, you should have a Kinyan. And meanwhile, the Brisa that we just learned together, if the Gzela is still Kayam, the child has an obligation to return it. So our mission now is difficult, not the Mishnah. The Brisa is difficult according to Rami Barchama. Amlecha Rami Barchama, Kitanyahi, Lifnei Yesh. Oh, the Brisa is talking about Lifnei Yesh. Okay. So you see, by the way, in other words, what we could do, we keep flipping on and off with Yesh, without Yesh, meaning that's a variable, and each of the positions can be defended, but just by playing with that one variable. Whether or not we're talking before Yesh, or whether we're talking about after Yesh. Okay. Where are we in the Gemara right now? So we're basically entertaining two big ideas in the beginning of the 10th parak, one of Rav Chista and the other one's Rami Bar Chama. Rav Chista says that when I have a double gzela, someone stole from me and someone else stole from the Gazlan, so I can go ahead and demand payment either from Gazlan number one or Gazlan number two. That's the first big idea. That's Rav Chista. Ratzimizegova. And now we have another big idea, which is that how to look at Yerusha. Is Yerusha considered a transfer? It's like a mekach. It's like any other transaction where basically it's now changing hands. And as a result of that, if there's Yerush and Yerusha, that's no different than Yerush and Shina Rishus. And that's the opinion of Rami Bar Chama. Alternatively, however, the counter to that is no, Yerusha is just simply a hamshacha. It's just a continuation. It's not a shinui. It's not a shina rishos. Good. That's the position of Rava. So those are two big ideas that we're entertaining over here in the beginning of the 10th parak. Rav Adar Bahava Masing Allah Rami Bar Chama. Now, Rav Adar Bahava also learns this din of Rami Bar Chama, right? That Yerusha is in fact considered a transfer. It is considered a shina rishos, but not on our Mishnah, rather on the following. Okay, this is a Tosefta. Tosefta in the fifth parak of Bav Metzia. Hiniach lem avi amal shel ribis. So what did dad do? So dad made his living on charging interest. Okay, it's called the bank. I'm sure you've heard of it. Unfortunately, who are dad's customers? Jews. Okay. So in other words, so now all that interest that's earned is ill-gotten gains of dad. It is an Isser Torah to go ahead and to charge another Jew interest. Okay. And so now dad has accumulated a good amount of wealth and then dad dies. So now the kid has inherited a lot of illicit money, illegal funds. So what do you do? So the Mishnah over there, to the Tosefta over there in Bava Metzia says the following. So Af Apish Yodin Shein Shel Ribis In Chayav LaHachzer. Okay. So even though the son knows fully well how this was earned, nevertheless, and the funds are illegal. There's no obligation of the child to go ahead and to return the money to its rightful owner. No need. Now Amar Ami Bar Chama Zos Ameres Rishus Yarishki Rishus Lokeach Daming. Okay, and now Rami Bar Chama will tell you the following, and in other words, what happened over here? Meaning, why? Why does the kid not have to return? It must be that we're assuming over here that there was Yeush. So, and not only was there Yeush, but there was Yeush, plus there was also Shina Rishus as well. Shina Rishus, it's Yerusha. Rami Bar Chama says exactly. Meaning Yerusha is Shina Rishus. So I have Yeush and I have Shina Rishus, and therefore there's a kinyan by the son, and there's no obligation to return. Okay, so far so good. Rava Amar lo la mem lacha rishus yoish lav kirishus lo gech dami damakra and shani hacha damakra tichach mi ito neshach visar bis ahadri le ki hechi di neche bahadach lidide kamazir le rechmana lebre la mazir le rechmana. And Rava will tell you the following, and that is that, no, I will disagree. I will take the other fundamental position that Yerusha is not considered like a Shina Rishos. But over here, the son doesn't have to. But I'll still explain the Braisa. I'll still explain the Tosefta. And that is that we're talking about Ribbis over here. Ribbis has an unusual quality to it. As we just read the Pasuk, as we just darshan. And that is that the obligation to return Ribbis is only by the lender. And nobody else has the obligation of returning the interest. Only the lender and lender himself has the obligation of return. And so this is unusual. Meaning by any other form of ill-gotten gains, otherwise known as zela, so the obligation will be on anyone who's holding the davra guzzle. But for interest, but the earnings of interest, the only obligation to return is only on the lender himself. Nobody else has the obligation to return. Even though there was no shinui rishus, and even though there was no quote-unquote kinyan, still the son does not have an obligation to return. Okay. As far as the time factor?
They didn't have it in those days. They didn't have a headache. Yes, when you're dealing with the Jewish company.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It took me a while to understand. I got you. In other words, so, right, did they do a iska? They for sure did iska. The Gemara Bava Metzia is going to describe it. The Tosefta is just dealing with a simple case where no iska was done. It was illicit. The Tosefta just wants to make the point that even though it was illicitly gained by dad, but once he dies, once dad dies, the son doesn't have to return it. That's the point the Mishnah wants to make. Good. And now from there, what deductions can be made? So Rami Bar Chama says, I know what deduction can be made, that Yerusha is like a Lekicha. It's a Shina Rishos. Good. Rava disagrees, but that's fine.
But the Isra of Ribbis is not only on the person who charges it, but the person who pays it. So
correct.
In a way, there's a certain obligation there that should be undone anyway.
Okay, good. In other words, correct. And the Gemara tells us that the Edom also are violating this of Ribbis as well. All well and good. But in other words, but it's an ill-gotten gain. It needs to be returned. Good. It needs to be returned. Why doesn't the kid have to return it? So that's exactly what we're learning together. In other words, this would be another check for Rami Bar Chama because Yerusha is considered like Lekicha. Good. So Manda Masnala Braisa. So here now, so let's hold two Mishnais in our head at the same time. Or again, I keep referring to this Tosefta as a Mishnah. Okay. Yeah, what's it called? Just a little more editing necessary. So, but let's hold these two in our head at the same time. Meaning we have basically two now sources, a Mishnah and a Tosefta. Our Mishnah, the Tosefta Bava Metzia. Our Mishnah tells us that dad stole, the stolen item now goes to the kid. Kid doesn't have to go ahead and return it. Okay. Again, there are occasions when they do, but in other words, but the kid doesn't have to return it. Why? So Rami Bar Chama says, because you have Yesh and Shina Rishos. Then we have a Toseftam Bat Metzia that basically says the same thing. But in other words, but talking by Ribbis. Father now has accumulated wealth via Ribbis. Dad dies. The son doesn't have to return it. Rami Bar Chama says, because you have Yesh and you have Shina Rishos. So, Rami Bar Chama either is deducing it from our Mishnah or deducing it from the Tosefta Bat Metzia. Now, Manda Masila Braisa Kol Shekein Masisen. Now, if you're learning on the Braisa, so then Kol Shekein. Meaning, Rami Bar Chama's deduction, if it starts with the Braisa, so then our Mishnah flows from that. It's obvious. However, Manda Masnila Masisan of Abraisa Rami Bar Chama Kiravi Masnila. However, if we only had Rami Bar Chama commenting on our Mishnah, I wouldn't be able to translate that to Ribbis. Why? For the reason we just got done saying. Ribbis may be different. The obligation to return Ribbis money may be a unique halacha built into Ribbis. So even if Rami Bar Chama did qualify our Mishnah and say that Yerusha is like Shina Rishus, and therefore there's a Kenyan, so but maybe he wouldn't take that position regarding Ribbis. Maybe he would subscribe to Rava's viewpoint. Okay, Tan Rabban. Hagoza Machas Banav Peter Milashalem Iniach Lifneim Gedolim Chayam Lasham Ketan Peter Milashalem Vim Amru Gedolim Ein Ani Yodim Cheshbon Shechisha Vavino Emach Peter. Okay, so here we are now with a Braisa that's addressing our very topic, meaning our, at least in today's daf, it's going to be a very streamlined daf. It's one topic, just, you know, with a lot of branches of it, but one topic. So dad stole, and what he did is he gave to his children. Not only did he give to his children, he fed the children, i.e. the item is no longer around, so then the children don't have to pay. However, he niach lifneim, but he didn't feed it to the children, he just left it for the children. So and the stolen item is still there. So if the child is a gadol, in other words, okay, so the child now is all grown up and fully responsible, then chayav l'shalem. He has to go ahead and return the stolen item. Okay. So the and if I subscribe to Rami Bar Chama, not a problem. Because over here I'll just simply say that this is before Yesh. Right? Rami Bar Chama says that Yerusha is like a Shinui, like a Shina Rishus. Yeah, but Shina Rishus by itself doesn't do anything. You need Shina Rishus and you need Yesh. Okay. And now, the point, however, we're going to zoom in on is the next point of the Braisa, which is that the child was a katan, so peturim milashalim. Now, they don't have to go and pay. Okay. Well, we're going to come back to that in just a moment. I just want to obviously highlight that point. And then the Braisa concluded with, if what the adult son said is, einanu yodim b'cheshbon shechishav avinu amach, peturim. Let's say the adult children said to the victim, to the nigzal, look, we're really sorry. We don't know. So if that's what the adult children are now saying to the claim made by the victim, hey, your dad stole from me, and the children are saying, we don't know, so then the children don't have to pay.
But isn't the case of Borish?
So the Gemara immediately, perfect. The Gemara immediately says, Mishum da'ami einanu yodim peturim. So the Gemara says, that can't possibly be. Can't possibly be. All right, the victim is making a claim, and as Ben just pointed out, Rashi points out over here, the claim of the victim is Bari. He knows. He's not guessing. And what are the children saying? Well, we don't know. Okay, great, you don't know. I know, and you don't know. So that's what's in halacha called a Bari versus a Shema. And we all know, Bari v'Shema, Bari Adiv. I'm making a definitive claim against you, and all you're simply saying is, I don't know? That's not sufficient defense. Amar Rava Hachi Kamar. So Rava says, you're right. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to go back to the Braisa and we're going to have to edit the Braisa just a little bit. Gedolim shamer yodim anu cheshbon shechisha vevinu amach v'lo pashal chugabe v'lo midi. So, if what the children's response is, the adult children is that, no, we do know. And here's what we know. Right? We know that our dad and you had, you know, have a backstory, have issues. And we know that, we know. Let me be even clearer. We know dad stole from you. We know that. But we also know, however, that remember, you and dad met, you worked it out, there was a payment plan, and not only that, but dad paid you. Oh, okay. We know all this. If that's what their claim is, then we accept their claim.
But they're not
okay, so good. So Ben is struggling right now. And that is, why are we accepting their claim? Meaning they're admitting to a theft that occurred, and because they're saying now we know definitively what happened, that's good. So Tosfos over here writes that we have a migu. Second Tosfos on the Amud. In other words, they could have made a number of outstanding claims. Number one, they could have said, we returned it to you. Or maybe there were no Eidim. In other words, there could be now a better claim that they could have made. There could be that there were no Eidim. In other words, under those circumstances, so let's stick with the first point of Tosfos. In other words, if there's a better claim that they could have made, so that's what's called amigu. And amigu now gives them koach and emunus. Gives them even stronger credibility than we normally would do. Okay, good. So in other words, Tosfos is bothered exactly by that issue of why is this acceptable? An acceptable argument made by the kids. Tanya Idach. Okay. Kufyud Beis Amud Aleph, halfway down on the Amud. Another brisa. Hagoz amachal bana peter mil shalem. Okay, good. At this point in time, we're so used to this refrain. So dad stole, and he fed it to the children, which means, of course, that the item is no longer there. So the children don't have to pay it back. If, let's say, he left it for the children, and the children are the ones who ate it, bein gedolim, bein katanim, chayavim. So here in this brisa, so if the children went ahead and ate it, they're going to have to pay. Okay, interesting. Now, katanim mi mechayve. Immediately, the Gemara jumps on, wait 1 second. The children are going to have to pay, meaning the minor children are going to have to pay. In other words, that's something we don't do. We don't take minor children to court and we don't extract payment. What we're going to do is that we're going to wait. We're going to wait till they grow up. So, lo yehe ela da'azik azuke. And the Gemara over here is even further bothered. Why? Because you know what? Those minor children, in other words, let's say they did eat it. What? At best, what can we call them? We can call them a mazik. Okay. Remember what we learned earlier in the Masechta? Rashi reminds us. Rashi over here, you could see, right in the middle of the Amud. Lo yehe ela da'azik azuke. It's a mission going back to Pei Zayin. And that is that when children do nezek, they do damage. What does that mean for you? It means you're having a really bad day. In other words, because not only is your property damaged, but on top of that, you have no address in terms of who to go to. You have no recourse. It means you're having a bad day. Okay, not exactly the language of the Mishnah, but good enough. Certainly communicating, conveying that sentiment. So I don't understand. How can the Brisa tell me that if the children go ahead and consume the stolen property of the father, so Gedolim Ketanim, they have to return. What do you mean? The Ketan doesn't have to return. So once again, Amar HaPapa, we're going to have to edit. Okay, over here, admittedly, it's a serious editing, but we have to. And that is, Rav Papa will tell you that, no, the end of the price is talking about where dad stole the item and left it for the children, and the item has not yet been consumed. Okay, that's much different, but we have to do that. In other words, under those circumstances, now where the item is be'en, so then the item is going to be returned. Amar Rav hiniach lem avim parasha ula. Okay. Another halacha, and that is that dad borrowed an item, and he borrowed it for a term, I don't know, a month, whatever. In other words, there was an agreement made between the mashil and the shoel. So the owner of the item now allowed the shoel to go ahead and borrow the item, and you could borrow it for a month. Okay. And within that month, dad dies. Okay. So now, can the son go ahead and use the item that was borrowed by the father? Oddly enough, interestingly enough, yes. Not only that, it gets even stranger. And that is, Mishtamshim ba kol yimei she'elasa, good. And now, Mesa ein chayavin be'onseha. Now let's say the animal dies during the usage of the son. So now, the son is not going to be chayav in ones. This is obviously strange. Meaning, had dad been alive, so, and he's a shovel, we know, what is the liability of a shovel? Maximum liability. Full liability, including even onsen. Something that was beyond your control, it don't matter. A shovel is chayav in everything. Geneva, Aveda, right, Mesa Machmas Malacha. I take back. Ones, okay? So dad had full liability. And yet, now, when he dies, the son can go ahead and use it, but doesn't share the same liability that dad does.
What is the status of the son at this point?
It's like a fifth category of shomer.
Okay. Okay. It's obviously going to be difficult to explain. Meaning, how can it be that you're going to be able to benefit, but without the responsibility and the liability of being a shoal? In other words, what the son is not going to be doing is the son's not going to be inheriting those liabilities. Okay.
But how about responsibilities, though, no?
Yeah, well, you say responsibility, I say liability. We're saying the same thing. We're saying the same thing. Okay. So the, now. Kisvurim shel aviem hi. I am going to go on, but we are going to go back to the she'ela. And I'm not promising that we're going to have full and better understanding, but I'm just telling you we are going to come back. Kisvurim shel aviem hi mutvachu v'achlua. Okay, next halacha. Okay, and that is that the kids didn't know. In other words, dad had a cow. Where'd he get it? I don't know. He borrowed it? We don't know. In other words, the kids weren't informed. And so then when dad died, and so now, okay, they inherited a cow. Okay, cow right now is getting older. You know what? Let's just shecht it. Let's eat it. And that's exactly what they did. They shecht it, they eat it. All the while they didn't know. It wasn't their father's. It was borrowed. So now what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to pay back. However, interesting halacha, and that is that they don't have to pay back the full value of the cow, only mishamun demei basa bezol, two-thirds of what it would go for. So,
how do they come back?
Yeah. The,
it's like a simchus kind of
right, confine. So, confine. And effectively, basically, they're only going to be paying for another, not going to be paying for the animal itself. Okay. And then one more point, and that is if what dad also left as part of the estate is property, so then they have to pay. Okay, now, let us summarize now the 3 points of Rava so that you can see clearly over here what's happening. Point number one of Rava is that if dad borrowed a cow, died, the term of the Shela is not yet over. So what the son could do is he can use it until the conclusion and completion of the remainder of the term. But what the son has not inherited is the same level of liability of the father. Father's chayv and onis, and the son is not going to be chayv and onis. Okay? Difficult to explain why that is, but that's halacha number one of Rava. Halacha number two of Rava, and that is that if the kids did not know that the father borrowed it, and they thought it was dad's, and they just simply shecht it and ate it, so they are going to have to pay back, but not for the value of the cow, but just simply for the value of the benefit that they received, the hana. And then Rava finally said, oh, by the way, if what the kids inherited was property, now they're on the hook. Now, hopefully you can already see we're developing a question over here. That last point of Rava, was that a modification of point number one, or was that a modification of point number two?
In point number one, the shomer, the new shomer, the kids, they didn't sign up for it, so they would naturally get a lesser liability. They wouldn't be chayiv anos.
Okay, good. You could say naturally less. I could argue otherwise. Anyway, well, let's see it together. So, Iga the Masnila Reishav, Iga the Masnila Sefer, so the Gemara says, okay, so now we are going to open ourselves up to both possibilities. Man demasnila reisha kol shekena seifa. Upligi de rab papa. Okay. Now, if you're going to be saying that it goes on the reisha, so consider the following now. Meaning, if dad died with leaving property, so now the property is going to be securing. Now, if it's securing liability, meaning if that's how you're learning the comment of Rava, if it's securing liability, for sure, it also is going to go on the seifa as well. The seifa is where the kids ate it. It's going to secure the full obligation and full restitution of the animal in total. Okay. And if that's in fact so, upligi de Rav Papa, and that would argue with Rav Papa. Who's Rav Papa? We haven't yet been introduced. We'll make the introduction in just a moment. However, man demasin la seifa ava reishalo v'hainu de Rav Papa. However, if instead you're learning it on the Seifa but not on the Reisha, so that is in fact Rav Papa. Okay. Now I know this part is confusing. Let's do the following. Let's make an introduction with Rav Papa, and then we can kind of work backwards. Okay. Da'amar Rav Papa. Okay, now what is the statement to Rav Papa? And this hopefully will clarify, right, the case of the She'ela. So, Haisa Parish Genuva Lo Tzvacha B'Shabbos Chayev Shekvar Chayev B'Gneva Karim She'ev Ali Deis or Shabbos. Okay, let's start off with the following halacha. You stole an animal, you shecht it on Shabbos. Okay? You're having a really bad halachic day. Now the theft of the animal could occur before Shabbos. That's not consequential. The point is the following, and that is that with the shechting of the animal, you're not chayv dal vehe. Aye, but you did so on Shabbos. And what does that bring about? Kim leba derab b'mineh. Now you're chayv misa and you're chayv mamon. In this case, kenas, doesn't matter. In other words, but you can't be chayv both. So you can only be chayv one. And which one? The more chamor. You're only going to be chayv on the Shabbos, not on the dal vehe. And since they occurred concurrently, so the chilul Shabbos is going to go ahead and override the dal vehe. That's easy. We all knew that. Now we get to the fun part. Okay. However, shekvar chayv b'gneva. I'm sorry. Shekvar chayv b'gneva karm she yavol deis or Shabbos. Sorry, everything I said is correct, but I'm sorry. We're focusing not on the dal vehe. We're focusing on the gneva and even the kefo. Okay, but that occurred before Shabbos. Okay, sorry, and because it occurred before Shabbos, so now you're going to be chayv on the gneva and you're going to be chayv on Shabbos as well. Okay. Haisa parashu'ulolo. Okay. Now let's say you borrowed the cow and you borrowed it before Shabbos. And utfachuhu b'Shabbos, and you shecht it on Shabbos. Good. Now here's where it gets exciting. So now potter, shiasu Shabbos v'sir geneva b'im ke'echad. So now you're going to be potter. Why are you going to be potter? Because Shabbos and geneva come at the same time. Shabbos and geneva come at the same time. Meaning. Okay. Here we go. When you are shoal an item, so now you definitely have liability. When does that point of liability begin? I could point to two significant times in which the liability is going to begin. One point I could point to is where you actually take the item, and now, thank you so much for lending it to me, and at that point in time, liability has now kicked in. Now, if something occurs later, if a mishap occurs later, okay, you're going to be chayev. But going back to the point where you took the item. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that no. There is, I'm going to give it a term, you don't have to love it. There's latent liability. Meaning when I take an item, so I will be liable. But not that I am liable. I will be if in fact something happens. And so it's at the point of the mishap, then and only then now liability kicks in. Now that's going to make all the difference in the world over here.
Contingent liability.
I like that. I like that. Contingent liability. Okay, good. And so now what happens is the following, and that is I borrow an animal and I borrowed it before Shabbos and I shecht it now on Shabbos. Okay, perfect. This is now where really the nafkamina is going to play out. Meaning if liability began at the point where I took the item, so now that means that my chi of mamon goes back to before Shabbos. And now when I shecht it on Shabbos, so now there's obviously going to be a chilul Shabbos, but I'm also going to be obligated money because the money occurred before Shabbos. That's one way to look at it. Rav Papa says, that's great. That's not the way I see it. I don't see it that way. I see it as contingent liability, which means now that when I borrow the item before Shabbos and I shecht it on Shabbos, so now the mamon and the chilul Shabbos are occurring concurrently. Because when does liability begin? When I shechted it. Then and only then does the liability kick in. Up until that point in time, I wasn't liable. Now, of course, I was, but in other words, but the onus is where the liability kicks in. Good. So that is the opinion of Rav Papa. So now, according to Rav Papa, that means that when Dad went ahead and borrowed the item, is Dad going to be liable? Okay?
Depends on which
reason. Right. According to Rav Papa, is Dad going to be liable?
No, correct.
Not until something happens. Ah, good. Not until something happens. So that means now that according to Rav Papa, so that liability does not kick in until something happens. Now, if Dad borrowed the cow and now Dad died and now the sons are going ahead and using it, so now according to Rav Papa, so now whose liability is it? According to Rav Papa, it's going to be the son's liability.
after it happens.
Right, correct. So now, we can now go back and revisit this. Let's do this, even though I know it's complicated, but let's go back. Okay, so we had three statements of Rava. Statement number one of Rava is a borrowed cow, and the kids are using it, and an onus occurs under the kid's care. Good. Case number two of Rava is where dad dies. The kids didn't know it was borrowed, and they shechted it, and they pay mom and bazal. And then point number three of Rava is that if dad dies with nechasim, with property, so that property is going to be securing. Which obligation? Obligation one or obligation two? So here's what the Gemara said, is that if you're saying that it only secures obligation number two, where the kids actually shechted the animal, so then that means that only in example number two, in case number two, where they shecht the animal and there was property, that property is going to go ahead and secure the obligation. However, in the case of the Reisha, according to Rav Papa, what happens? In the case of the Reisha, so the ones kick, I'm sorry, the liability kicks in only when? Only at the time when the animal dies. So and so therefore that means that when dad borrowed it, the Sheba didn't begin. If dad borrowed it and the Sheba didn't begin, is there going to be now a lien attached to it?
No.
No.
Not until.
Right. Not until it occurs. So now that dad dies and dad is no longer, in other words, the shoal is no longer alive. And the kid is now filling in for the father. But in other words, but there is no obligation for the kid to go ahead and be liable for ones. Again, I know that's hard to explain, but that's the fact. And there is no land lien attached to that obligation. Because the land lien would only be attached to the obligation if dad had an obligation. But dad didn't have an obligation. Dad was a shoel, but the onus hasn't yet occurred. So there is no attachment of lien to that obligation because it didn't start with dad. I know that part's complicated, but according to Rav Papa, that's the correct way to look at it. And therefore, according to Rav Papa, even with the inheritance of property, the kid doesn't have to pay. Yeah. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Do I have time for a little bit more? No, I'm going to go further. Okay, Tana Rabbanan Beishav is Exela Shergazal. A little bit more for today. Ma Tamalam Rashergazal, Yachzer Kain Shergazal. Okay, so you have to return to Cain. As it Emru, Gozamachos, Bana Paturim, Elishalem. Good, so over here, the Brisa. So that is, again, we're just hammering the same point again and again. Every time we hammer it, by the way, we get a new kernel. We get a new spark, if you will. So the paturim lashon. So that means that if the kids inherit and they consumed it, they don't have to pay. Hiniach lifneim ben gadol ben katanim chayavim. Now, if left for the kids, so they do have to pay, and the item is still there, they have to pay. And mishum simchas amru gadol chayavim katanim paturim. And now the opinion of simchas, and the simchas is that even when the item is be'en, gadolim have to return it. The minors do not. Okay. Now, hold the thought for just a moment. Let's quickly run through a story. Baruch Hamu de Rabbi Yirmiyah, Taragale Ba'ape de Rabbi Yirmiyah. Okay, Rabbi Yirmiyah's brother-in-law. Okay, Rabbi Yirmiyah's married, right? His father-in-law just died, and he's got a brother-in-law. The brother-in-law's a minor. Okay, and immediately upon the death of his father-in-law, Rabbi Yirmiyah now knows, I got a financial challenge. In that, my father-in-law's property, I own it. Okay, in terms of what his claim for ownership is, we'll go over in just a moment. But I own it. The problem right now is that the kid's living there, and the kid's going to try to stop me from possessing it. So that's exactly what happened. So Tariq Ali Ba'ape de Rabbi Yirmiyah. So as Rabbi Yirmiyah now is running to what he believes is his property, I knew it. What he believes is his property. So what his brother-in-law does, his kid brother-in-law does, is locks the door. He can't come in. So also come into Rabbi Avin. So they go to Rabbi Avin, and Amar Shalou Tovea. So now Rabbi Avin says he's the minor brother-in-law is defending what he believes is his. So Amrlei v'ha ma'isin and sahade da'achzikeh be'chayi da'avua. So what do you mean? Rabbi Yirmiyah has witnesses that he occupied that property for 3 consecutive years unchallenged. In other words, what he's arguing is that my father-in-law sold it to me years ago, and even though I don't have the paperwork now, you know why I don't have the paperwork? Because I've been living in it for over 3 years, and we know statute of limitations. You don't have to hold the paperwork for more than 3 years. And
maybe that's the reason why the father-in-law never said
anything. Now wait 1 second. In other words, you're litigating a case. That's great. Your brother-in-law right now currently is a minor. Right. You can't litigate with a minor. It's shelo b'fnei bal din. There's nobody to litigate with right now. He says, what do you mean? A stolen item. So if the item is be'en, you return the item to its rightful owner. Over here, same thing. Rabbi Avin says in response, yeah, but what about simchas? So the Gemara says, Amar ichbo kuli ama v'kai k'simchas lavkun lididi. Well, that's really strange. Meaning, I'm showing you the Tanakhama's position. You're pointing to simchas, and you're now refusing to give me what's properly mine because of simchas. That's really strange. So adahachi igla milsa. Okay, let's pause right now. Right, I'm fighting time. I'm fighting music. challenging. Okay, let's pause over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Okay.